When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to five pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Quan Felton, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. And Cody, man, what a busy day, busy couple of days. It's been kind of just getting back home from the draft coverage and having to recalibrate everything. I know you were working yesterday getting all the rookies updated as far as their teams and their positioning in the Roster Watch Dynasty Top 250. That's been a process. It's been a process getting the Dynasty Rookie Cheat Sheet version 1.0, now updated to version 1.1, up on the site. And that's going to get another update to version 1.2 after I've been now drafting in four Dynasty Rookie drafts, slow drafts, over the course of the last couple of days. I know that many of you have too. A couple of trends I've been noticing there. And then just yesterday, having to get the Best Ball Cheat Sheet updated. And some kind of big movers there. I wanted to ask you a couple questions about all this stuff, kind of just like the big rookie updates for fantasy. We're also going to talk about some of the undrafted free agent wide receivers, some of their landing spots, whether we think that they could be viable. And maybe if we, you know, we'll go over some of, you posted an article today on rosterwatch.com giving your grades for each team as far as their drafts. There's some that I like, some that I think are a little bit cockamamie. So let me ask you some kind of best ball questions real quick, because I think as it pertains or as we look at them vis-a-vis true dynasty rookie draft stuff, because obviously there's a difference, right? In best ball, we're only drafting for this next year as far as these rookies are concerned, whereas in Dynasty, of course, we're drafting them for their careers. How does that affect Omarion Hampton versus Travion Henderson to you? I mean, to me, it was pretty obvious that Omarion Hampton was going, you know, 10, 12 spots ahead of Travion Henderson prior to all this stuff. It feels like in the new underdog stuff that just opened up post-draft, Omarion Hampton still going ahead of Travion Henderson at this point. To me, I'm not sure that makes sense anymore, considering the fact that Omarion Hampton and Dynasty, we've talked about it. I think it's still fine to take him over Travion Henderson just because of the talent and because of the fact that they can, you know, they could be done with Najee Harris after 1 year there with the Chargers. Did you see the picture of Omarion Hampton going and meeting Harbaugh?
Yeah.
He looks like a giant, dude. It's just so, I mean,
we saw it at the combine.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
What do you think about Omarion Hampton though, for just the 2025 season? Like, where do you have him valued?
Well, to answer the question in totality, I think in Dynasty, I'll still have Omarion Hampton ahead of Travion Henderson for the reasons you laid out. The offensive line in Los Angeles right now, is in much better shape than it is in New England. And when Najee walks after this year, not really worried about the J.K. Dobbins factor. I think the undrafted free agent that they added was an interesting one. I think it was Raheem Sanders, Rocket Sanders from South Carolina, as a UDFA who I think he's got the talent to make that roster. And, you know, long term, like if it's a backfield of those two guys, I'm sure they have a pass catching guy in that backfield. But Amari Hampton's going to be the bell cow here. You know, as soon as it could be like week 6-8 if Najee goes down, or, you know, worst case scenario, I think it's just week 1 next year. So for Dynasty, I'll have Hampton ahead, but for best ball and for 2025, right now my thoughts are this should be a two-round gap. This should be in my
– Oh, a two-round gap.
Two-and-a-half, three-round gap between Henderson and Omari and Hampton, where I generally I remember drafting it was a Kendra and Roshan in round 10, right, and as a rookie in redraft. Right. I'm not saying Omari Hampton should be a 10th round pick, but he should be much closer to being a 10th round pick than I think Omari Hampton, than Trayvon Henderson, where Henderson, off the cuff, I would say I'd be willing to draft him all the way up into the fifth, because I think there's going to be that much output there from a receiving perspective, from a protection perspective. This offense is not built to run the football between the tackles and grind it out, even though that's Ramondre's role. I think Henderson has, you know, I'm not saying you're going to get a Jahmyr Gibbs out of Henderson, but you're going to get something closer to that than you'll get out of a full season of, well, if an injury happens, or, well, if a game script goes this way, we'll get some carries out of Amari Hampton. I would be right now off the cuff without even looking at ADPs, I would say it's probably would end up for me 2 to 3 round difference between Henderson and Hampton in best ball or seasonal.
So let me just list off some guys. So how about Omari and Hampton versus like the Chuba Hubbard, Joe Mixon? You're taking them?
Chuba, yeah.
And so certainly James Cook and stuff.
Yeah.
What about Omari and versus Quinshon? Really? Okay. How about versus like Caleb Johnson? So how about versus like David Montgomery, Alvin Kamara, James Conner, or Jay Harvey for that matter?
I think when you get to that conversation, it becomes Conner and Kamara. People have their opinions, and these guys are getting, you know, towards the age 30 season and stuff. I would lean towards that guy. I would lean towards the Kamara, the Conner, in that conversation for seasonal and best ball. Because we see it on a weekly basis from Kamara and Conner, where they'll get, you know, Conner will get his 25 touches. Conner will score 3 touchdowns. Kamara's going to get his pass catching work out of that. That team's going to suck this year. He may get another year of, you know, 80 receptions, just go maniacal. I think that it should be it's going to sound terrible, but it should be a significant difference in ADP between these guys, where we shouldn't really have that large of an expectation from Hampton right away. I don't forget this, but Najee's had 1,000 yards, like every year, and they went out and got him. And I know they didn't pay him $20 million a year or something like Saquon, but Najee's going to have the backfield in 2025, period. And I'm not saying it's going to be like – I'm obviously not saying this is going to be like a Blake Corum either, because the draft capital is significantly different, but – I don't think they're just going to be like, well, Najee, you know, well, pay him that money. Let's just, you know, not play him. Like, what, best case scenario, they split carries 50-50, and he gets 12 carries a game, 12 carries for 65 yards, and maybe falls in for a touchdown? Like, you're talking about, like, averaging, like, 9 fantasy points a game if that's the case.
Oh, that's a good point. There needs to be a massive correction here, even from version 2.0. I'm going to update it after the show, because I still have him in the same neighborhood as Travion. What about RJ Harvey versus Omari and Hampton? Just 2025 alone. It's kind of got to be Harvey.
It's got to be Harvey.
Gosh.
Right? And it doesn't feel good to say it out loud, but it's just – it's a Bayesian process for a reason.
Okay, so we'll do that. So let me just see what that would do here. So
now, believe me, if this ADP corrects, I don't know what the ADP is directly right now, and we'll give it a week or two to flush out. But if you're talking about getting Amari and Hampton in like the 7th or 8th round, I'll be all about that.
That will, I mean, where we have, and I'm not sure if this is going to stick, but I definitely have heard people talking about the value of taking RJ Harvey in the seventh round. This is the hard part about these early ADPs, right? It's like it feels like people have attached onto this buzz of taking RJ Harvey in the seventh round of these early post-draft best ball leagues. And so whenever I saw that mentioned a few times, I said, okay, we got to get ahead of it. I slated him in as a starting to be around a choice around pick 70, right? So end of the sixth, where he can start being a choice, right? If we're slating in Omarion Hampton right after that, it's more like sort of seventh-ish. And I'm wondering if you're saying if you get him in the eighth round, you'll start taking him. Does that would you want to take him after Tony Pollard, Omarion? Is that about where you start getting it? Because I do feel like, of course, some of the guys that I had to move down,
Share with both of those guys.
What?
I'd like to get a split share of both of those guys right now. I want to get a little bit of both, but I don't want to be anywhere near overextended on either one.
Okay. What about – and so, of course, I had to move down the guys who got significant significant competition in their backfields with Tyrone Tracy, Najee Harris, Jalen Warren. I don't think that you would have any issue with that. But do you think that – guys like Pollard and Omarion Hampton should be going off now at the same time of receivers of I don't know guys like, you know, guys like Matthew Golden or Emeka Egbuka, veterans like Brandon Ayuk or Cooper Kupp, this type of range, Jaden Reed. Does that sound right to you? Or should that be an area where you're kind of maybe taking those guys?
I feel like that should be an area where you're taking some of these backs. Is it wrong that we would have Omarion ahead of Najee here?
Well, I think the ADP is gonna tell you that that's what you just kind of need to do to avoid breaking it.
Do you think that's where the ADP is gonna end up here?
You have as good an idea about that as I do. Do you think it will?
I think the fanfare is much more likely to jump on the Omarion.
I think so too.
Wagon.
Did I overcorrect with Najee?
What do you mean? Did you overcorrect?
Well, I moved Najee down because I was like, well, Omarion Hampton's going to bite into what he's doing here. Do you understand what I'm asking?
Yeah.
Should those guys
getting close to right where it's at?
Okay. Well, fair enough. Okay.
I think these receivers, though, like shit, that's seventh round Luther Burden right there.
Kind of around there, yeah. Seventh, eighth. Is that that's too high? Is that too high?
That's not going to happen, is it?
I don't know. I mean,
he's pretty buried.
He certainly isn't set. You know, he's not set up particularly well.
I love him, but he just feels like he's buried right now. Unless we get an indication that he's going to have, I think Emeka is probably going to start in the slot. That's just my, you know, early expectations. He'll be in the slot, and then we'll get, you know, he'll play a little bit outside, a little bit in the slot, and you'll get Godwin playing his 35%, 40% in the slot, and he'll get enough run to have some games. Burden, though, like it feels like it has to be kind of like a Jaden Reed role for you to pay off at that, and I just don't know if that's going to be.
Okay. I mean, I'm fine. I'm fine moving Burden down to the bottom of this sort of stack right here. That's fine with me. We'll sort of see. I'm going to have to test this out before I update it. So I'm going to try doing that. As far as Omarion Hampton, you're fine taking him around that same area though. the rookie wide receivers, the Cooper Cups, like you mentioned, Jaden Reed, that kind of guy, Jerry Jeudy.
I think that's a good area. I think that's a good area. What about the Chicago thing with the running backs?
Yeah.
So DeAndre Swift made it through here unscathed. They drafted Kyle Monongai from Rutgers in the seventh, who's 5'8", 211, 4'6 guy. Good, you need a fine back. I'm not sure he can beat out Roshan. And then there was a murmur that came out yesterday that they were sniffing around on Nick Chubb. Is this proper with ADP the way we have DeAndre Swift right now with this Aaron Jones, Jordan Mason area?
Well, okay.
So right now, I want to kind of be a little bit ahead on Swift. Is that
DeAndre's? So DeAndre Swift's ADP is like 106. I remember Mason's is like 110. So right now,
because they're not. I mean, they didn't take Caleb Johnson, which we thought was going to happen. Trey Henderson, like they didn't take anything high end. And right now, it's like, okay, is it going to be Chubb? Is it going to be Dobbins? Is it going to be some kind of like Leonard Fournette thing? Like,
so Do you like DeAndre Swift more than Najee Harris?
Yeah,
Najee's ADP is more like at 82, like 82. So those guys are split by almost 20 picks. So I mean,
I sort of like Swift today. And again, they could add somebody. They could add a Chubb. They could add a Fournette. They could add a Dobbins. But I kind of like, him better than Pollard.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Oh, okay. Pollard right now is like Pollard is kind of going off where Najee goes off. So you're saying that you think that
Improved offensive line, significantly improved weaponry. He's a pass catching back that knows the Ben Johnson system.
I think I know what I can do. I think that I get what you were saying about getting Najee and Omari and Hampton closer to one another, right?
Yeah.
And if we get those guys around this area of dudes that I'm guessing you're still not huge on like the Juwan Jennings, and you're just acting like you weren't that huge on Luther Burden. If we can get these guys, Najee Harris and DeAndre Swift, kind of just up here with the rest of them.
Yeah, I see that. I like that.
I think that sort of makes sense, because then that gets us high on DeAndre. It gets us higher on DeAndre Swift, where we would take him probably in the round before he generally goes. It gets us a tiny bit low on Najee. It gets us basically at ADP or a tiny bit low for Pollard. And then for Omari and Hampton, I have no idea where his is going to end up. But if he ended up here, you'd be talking about like end of the seventh round, maybe eighth round for Omari, which is where you said if he starts getting there, that's when I'd be interested in taking him. But in doing all that, that gets Omari behind RJ Harvey, which we said, or it puts him in a completely different tier almost.
Yeah.
Right. And then a new tier opens up underneath these guys around the time when you start taking, you know, when the quarterbacks start to run out, like the Brock Purdy's and the Drake Mays and the Jordan Loves and stuff like that, when they start to run out, that's when you get to the guys who have lost value here, like Tyrone Tracy, Jalen Warren, Travis Etienne. Should Jordan Mason be just be ahead of all those? He should be, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm going to do that here real quick. And that tier would start with Jordan Mason after structurally you've hopefully gotten one of these quarterbacks that we dig in this range of Bo Nix, Baker Mayfield, et cetera, along with the tight ends that we dig at their current value, like Jonnu, Hawkinson. I hate to say it, but Kelsey is now a value in fantasy football, and David Njoku. After you can kind of load up there and hopefully get one of those quarterbacks, one of those tight ends around there, or if you need running back, this should be built into where you might probably have a shot to take DeAndre Swift as a built-in sort of a built-in trap door there to help you out if you're running a little bit light on running back. And then you can pick back up here with Jordan Mason at the top of this tier that really has a lot of guys that I do not want to take. Like, I don't want, at this point, I'm scared to take Tyrone Tracy. I'm scared to take Jalen Warren. I'm scared to take Etienne because of the Bashaul Tutin stuff. I'm a little bit scared to take Isaiah Pacheco, right? I'm certainly scared to death to take Ramondre Stevenson or Brian Robinson. Although Brian Robinson kind of dodged some stuff.
Well, I'm not sure we're going to have to make a move on this, but for the next 2 weeks, I'm just going to get this take out here in that Jaden Blue should be the cream between the Oreo of Jordan Mason and Tyrone Tracy. And I think we're not going to have to make that move right now.
Oh, he doesn't need to get him that high.
Yeah, we don't have to make that move right now, but I'm saying that's where I think he belongs.
He's getting it, dude. And here's the thing, Cody, he's going earlier and earlier in these dynasty rookie drafts that I'm in. People are starting to get it. But so his current ADP is 173.1. We have him slotted in to take him at start considering him around pick 130. So
love it.
I think we're good for now. But
it's still too low. But that's how the cheat sheet's built, is to just get it at value, and we'll just keep on altering and adjusting as time goes by if it continues to rise.
Right, because like he's here with guys like Brian Robinson, Scadaboo, who's going 40, who's going like, what? Gosh, Scadaboo's going 70 spots ahead of him. So we can't get him above that. But I certainly want to get him above these guys that I just like Tank Bigsby has been just cooked, right? I feel like Rico Dowdle with Carolina, with Chuba Hubbard being there and them adding Trevor Etienne, man.
Etienne's better than Dowdle today.
What?
Etienne's better than Dowdle today.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like some of these guys, I'm not in. It's like Zach Charbonnet after they bring in Damian Martinez and stuff. Like these guys are just dudes that I have very, very, very little interest in. So I like that we had the Omarion Hampton discussion. That was a big change that needs to happen from 2.0 to 2.1. I like the discussion we had about Luther Burden and this sort of tier here where you're going to be able to load up at quarterback and tight end before hopefully pivoting to – you know, back to running back and maybe landing a Jordan Mason, landing a Jaden Blue here along the way before taking your second tight end if things go according to plan. But yeah, so those things all make sense to me. Here's my final thing. Do you think Ted McMillan, I know that you're going to, so 44.2 is his ADP. Travis Hunter, 50.7 has been his ADP. Do you want Travis Hunter more than him in redraft in 2025?
No.
You're positive of it?
No. I Dynasty, yes. But redraft, I just, again, like I told you yesterday, it's not going to be like the Malik Nabers thing where every roster, like it's like you can't leave a draft without Malik Nabers. You can't leave a draft without Ted Earl McMillan, but it's going to be close.
We'll see. I mean, we got to wait for reports from camp and how they look, and hopefully you're going to get out to that one.
Unless he's just a complete dunce, like Terrace Marshall or something. Like,
right. So we have Ted Aroa McMillan now, basically four spots ahead of where his ADP is, and you can either take him or you can take Travion Henderson. I like having that choice.
Yeah.
So that's where we'll be for that. So, all right. So good stuff there on the best ball thing. Let's get out of here by talking about some of these undrafted free agent wide receivers that you wanted to get into. And if we think we can slot them on any of these, then the ones that I added into the Dynasty Rookie cheat sheet, I believe were the, I think the, so the only undrafted guys that I added in were running backs, Marcus Yarns, Marcus Yarns went to New Orleans. Rocket Sanders went to the Chargers. I added Montrell Johnson to the Eagles, even though it's a bad landing spot, just because we believe in the talent and sort of to a similar degree at the very bottom here. And we're talking, you know, round eight of a dynasty rookie draft that these guys would be considered. Most of you guys only draft till round four or five, right? I added those guys on. The only UDFA wide receiver that I've added onto the Dynasty Rookie cheat sheet has been Xavier Restrepo, just because of the, you know, he goes to Tennessee. You and I talked about how that could be, it's like if there's one guy you could see set up to just have his quarterback connection from college and the dude who set every Miami record there was for receiving, I can't reasonably leave him off just because he ran the 4.8. I can't do it. I think he could go in there and make a role for himself as far as Xavier Restrepo to the Tennessee Titans. But be interested to hear if you think that there's other UDFA wide receivers that could be of interest.
Yeah, well, he's 100%. You're very rarely do you get to like see an outlier coming and just like project. But that's the outlier. Like Brock Purdy, obviously you couldn't see that. But I think this will be one of those that you just rarely rarely gifted to us, just because, again, the speed was the speed. And I mean, he's one of the most prolific wide receivers in Miami. He's the most prolific wide receiver in Miami Hurricane history, and he's connected to Cam Ward. So I don't think you'll have a problem making that roster unless he is, a zero for some reason, but I don't think he will be. Other spots I was kind of like, I thought were interesting. Two teams that did not draft a receiver, but added three UDFAs was the Dolphins and the Giants. So the Dolphins added Sam Brown from Miami, Theo Weiss from Missouri, and Andrew Armstrong from Arkansas. Each of these
guys are talented.
Each of these guys is 6'2", 6'2", 6'3", 199 to 204. They all run between a 4.44 and a 4.56. Sam Brown ran the 4.44. Andrew Armstrong got a 281 yards per out run. Theo Weiss 258. Sam Brown not quite that high. Andrew Armstrong had 1100 yards in the SEC, one touchdown. Theo Weiss at 800 yards and three touchdowns playing with Luther Burden. So they added three guys, and they've been looking for a wide receiver three for multiple years now. And that wide receiver room is Waddle, Hill, and Washington, Malik Washington. They got Nick Westbrook, Akine. They added in free agency, who we talked about and liked when they did that. Yeah. But otherwise, outside of that, it's like D. Eskridge and Taj Washington and Tariq Black and Azukama.
Azukama is still there.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, I thought. But anyways, so Sam Brown, Theo Weiss, Andrew Armstrong, guys to just watch during these rookie mini camps right now. And Sam Brown's from that area down there. Andrew Armstrong would be the one I think I would just lean towards. He's the bigger body, 6'3", 204, ran a 4.51. He's old as hell. He's going to be 25 when the season starts, but had a 1,000-yard season in the SEC, averaged almost 3 yards per out run. I think he's interesting. Just going to, like, watch him. Then the other spot was the Giants, who added, you know, different body types. Juice Wells from Ole Miss went undrafted, so he's there. He obviously played at Ole Miss for the last couple of years, was at James Madison, was at Virginia Tech. And then Daquan Felton, who was at Virginia Tech as well this last year, 6'4", 218. He's a bit of a donk, Emmanuel Butler-type player. And then Bo Collins from Notre Dame as well. The one player I would look there is, I think Juice Wells has enough gas to make that roster.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, what are you fighting to be? You're fighting to be the wide receiver. Are you fighting with Jalin Hyatt to be wide receiver 4?
Yeah, but I think Juice Wells is a you know, he's a guy that can also play in the slot. So it's like, you look at that wide. Speaking of bad wide receiver rooms, like the Giants is Zach Pascal, Amir Smith-Marset, Montrell Washington, Lil Jordan Humphrey, Bryce Ford Wheaton, Jalin. Like, it's bad. I think Juice Wells is a good football player. He's just old as hell. He's going to be 24 when the season starts as well. I think Juice Wells is good enough to make that roster. So I'll watch him. The other interesting one was the Raiders, who drafted 2 receivers, also added 2 receivers on top of that, 2 guys that
so they drafted Jack Besh and was it LaJonte Wester?
No, Dante Thornton.
Dante Thornton, that's right.
And then they signed Zachariah Franklin, who's the lowest graded receiver on the pre-draft ranking sheet for us. And then Dorian Singer from Utah, who had transferred, like, I think he was at Arizona, Colorado, USC, Utah. Like, he transferred like 4 or 5 times. But they signed 2 guys. So that was kind of the thing I was looking for, was just like teams that like went out of their way to add multiple assets in the wide receiver room. Carolina also added Jacoby George from Miami. That's an interesting one.
I kind of like him. Yeah.
He's looked at as like a 4-4 guy. Mm-hmm. You say you liked him?
Yeah.
So they drafted Jimmy Horn from Colorado in the 6th after taking Tet. But those are kind of the main ones there. Let's see here. Efton Chisholm. How about this one? Efton Chisholm, the Eastern Kentucky wide receiver who had a good week at the Shrine Bowl. 5'10", 195. He ran slow as hell, but he was signed by the Patriots. Ran a 4.76, but he's like your quintessential
bad Patriots wide receiver.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. So out of all of these guys, the people need to know, Cody, we'll get him out with this. Out of all of these guys that you've mentioned, or any others, the 2025 undrafted free agent wide receiver that you will be able to start at least once in fantasy football next season.
It's easy. It's a layup. It's the Giants and their new quarterback, Jackson Dart, played with him in college at Ole Miss. It's Juice Wells.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.